So far, we have covered the basics for importing goods. Now let's move on to planning and how you can reduce your duty bill through the use of various customs procedures. One of these procedures is called Inward Processing Relief, or IPR for short. Take the following example. You are a manufacturer of car shampoo in the UK. One of the ingredients that you need is a chemical that is only produced in America. Therefore, you import this chemical, incorporate it into your car shampoo product, which is then exported outside of the EU. Using what we have learned so far, when you import the chemical from America, you will declare it to customs on the SAD or C88. Once the declaration has been accepted, you will pay any customs duty and import VAT due. The customs duty, remember, is irrecoverable, so this will have to be factored into the end price that you charge to your customers. Now, looking at this logically, the chemical that you imported never really stayed in the EU. It went into a product that was exported. Therefore, is it fair that we should pay customs duty on a product that was never really destined to stay in the EU? Well, this is where IPR might help us. IPR is a regime that allows you duty relief on goods imported for processing that are subsequently exported in what we call the compensating product. This is the aim of the scheme, but how exactly does it work? We'll introduce the legislation first. Articles 114 onwards of the Code and Articles 496 to 523 and 536 to 550 of the implementing regs is where you will find most of the rules. The first important point about IPR is that you must be authorized by customs to use it. This authorization can either be applied for at the time you import the goods or in advance. Let's now take a look at the types of authorizations available to an importer. The first type of authorization that we're going to look at is the one that you apply for at the time of the import. In the UK, the application used to be made on a form C101. However, since August 2003, the C101 has not been needed, and the application is made on the C88. The importer enters certain details about the goods and processing into Box 44. We'll look at the details needed in a minute. This type of authorization is often referred to as a simplified authorization,
and is suitable for someone who carries out occasional processes on imported goods.
From the 1st of April 2010, a simplified authorization can no longer be used in the UK for someone operating IPR using the drawback system. You'll learn more about what drawback is in a minute. But first we'll look at another restriction on the use of this type of authorization.
Article 497 of the implementing regulations gives a restriction as to when this authorization can be used. It can only be used where the economic conditions are deemed to be satisfied.
What are these economic conditions? Coming back to our earlier scenario, we said that in order to be able to manufacture your car shampoo, the chemical you needed was not available to be purchased in the EU. Therefore, if you are forced to import the chemical you need, it would seem fair that import duty should not be paid if the end product is subsequently exported. But what if this chemical was available to be bought in the EU? EU producers of the chemical would not be happy if the processor was getting duty relief on a chemical that they could supply. The economic conditions are there to protect this EU producer. So, does this mean that if the chemical is available in the EU, then we won't get any duty relief? Not necessarily. As well as protecting EU producers of the chemical, we want to also encourage the car shampoo manufacturer. Why? Because you are giving jobs to EU citizens, which can't be a bad thing. The economic conditions have two purposes overall then. One is to protect EU producers, but at the same time encouraging people to manufacture products in the EU. In a little while, we will come on to the valid reasons an importer can give to ensure he meets the economic conditions. To find the specific legislation governing the economic conditions, Article 497, subsection 3, refers us to Article 539 of the implementing regs. Article 539 says that the economic conditions shall be deemed to be fulfilled except where an application concerns goods mentioned in Annex 73. Therefore, you can import any goods for any type of processing under a simplified authorization so long as they are not listed in Annex 73. We now need to look at what Annex 73 contains. Remember, you can pause this lecture at any time using the button on the bottom right-hand side of the screen if you want to spend a bit of time looking at the legislation. This annex essentially covers agricultural products in certain sectors. For example, rice, milk, wine, fishery products, or products derived from any of these goods. What if we were importing rice then? According to Article 539, you can still apply for your IPR authorization at the time of import if the processing falls within the list given in Article 539. Turn to this now and see what is covered. As an example, A4 covers products that will be subject to the usual forms of handling listed in Article 531. You will see this phrase again later in the customs warehousing lecture. If you look at Article 531 for the usual forms of handling, it simply refers you to Annex 72. It covers, amongst other things, simple operations, which mostly do not allow the goods to change their 8-digit tariff code. These operations include, and I have kept the numbers as per Annex 72 so that you can follow them, 1. Simple cleaning operations, 3. Stock-taking, weighing of goods, 4. Removal of damaged components, 13. Dilution of fluids. This one can result in a different 8-digit tariff code after the dilution has occurred, and 16. Change of packing. And again, this one can result in the end product having a different 8-digit tariff code to the imported product. For example then, if we are importing wine and all we are doing is reboxing it, for example with some fancy Christmas packaging, we only need a simplified authorization. We can also use this type of authorization if we only import a small quantity of these products, and in this case, we can do what we like to the goods. The processing does not have to fall within the usual forms of handling list. A small quantity is defined in Article 539, subsection B, as €150,000, which is approximately £97,500 worth of goods per annum. The logic behind this is that you are not importing a large enough quantity to cause other EU producers any cause for concern. One of the pieces of information required in Box 44 is the throughput period. This is the time the importer needs to import, process and re-export the finished product. If the importer does not detail a period, a standard 6 months will apply. So far, we have covered the simplified authorization, which is applied for at the time of import. But what other types of authorization are there? The types of authorization that we are going to look at next mostly require the same application form. In the UK, this is a C&E 810, which basically replicates Annex 67 of the implementing regs. The types of authorizations are called by UK Customs local, specific, integrated, or single community. Where an importer is applying for a single community authorization, application is made on the form in Annex 67, not the C&E 810. We'll look at each of the authorizations in turn. Firstly, the local authorization. This type of authorization covers the same types of products and processing which we have already looked at for the simplified procedure. For example, products that undergo usual forms of handling, or where the value of imports of certain agricultural goods does not exceed €150,000 per annum.
The advantage of applying for this type of authorization is that you do not need to complete Box 44 of the C88 every time you import your goods. Instead, you are given an authorization number by customs which you quote on the C88. An authorization can be granted for a maximum 3 years. This satisfies Article 507(3) of the implementing regulations.
Customs may lay down in the authorization a maximum throughput period, and any applications should be accepted or rejected by customs within 30 days. This is provided for in Article 506 of the implementing regs. If the importer requests it, a provisional authorization may be granted from the date of the application, and in some circumstances, a retrospective authorization may be granted for a maximum 1 year prior to his application, where there has been no obvious negligence or deception by the applicant, and their records show that all conditions of the relief have been complied with. Moving on to the specific authorization now. This authorization has the same time constraints on it as for a local authorization. The only difference is that the economic conditions are not deemed to be fulfilled, so the importer needs to satisfy them. These are referred to in Article 502, subsection 2 of the implementing regs, and amplified in Annex 70. You will see from Annex 70 that it contains a list of reasons as to why community goods cannot be used. Each reason is denoted by a two-digit code. The importer can pick from these codes. Obviously, the more codes he satisfies, the more likely his application will be accepted. Remember, we have already said that for goods not appearing in Annex 73, the conditions are deemed to be satisfied. Therefore, there is a standard code of 01, which covers non-Annex 73 goods. Technically, even if an economic test is not needed, the importer should quote a code on his application. The other codes listed are only relevant to certain agricultural products. An example of the codes are Code 10, unavailability of goods produced in the community. Code 11, although available in the community, comparable goods cannot be used because their price would make the proposed commercial operation economically unviable. Code 12, although available in the community, comparable goods do not conform to the expressly stated requirements of the third country purchaser of the compensating products. This is only an illustration. I suggest that you spend a bit of time looking through this annex. It's not too long, honestly, and is fairly self-explanatory. You can see from the economic condition codes above that the purpose is to only allow duty relief if there is a valid reason as to why community goods cannot be used in place of the imported goods. The Department for the Environment, Food and Rural Affairs, or DEFRA for short, carries out the economic test on agricultural goods. The next authorization we are going to look at is the integrated authorization. This covers the same types of products and processes as we've already mentioned. But the reason for this type of authorization is that the person is combining IPR with another customs procedure. For example, they might also want to use customs warehousing. You will learn more about customs warehousing in the next lecture. The final type of IPR authorization is the single community one. This is where processing is going to take place in more than one member state. The application is initially sent to UK Customs, and they will send a copy of the application to the other member states in which the goods are going to be processed. You can see this in Article 500 of the implementing regs. The other member states then have 30 days to object to the authorization, and if they don't, then UK Customs can authorize the applicant as they see fit. Now we know what types of authorizations are available, what else do we need to know? We need to decide what type of IPR we are going to use.
There are currently two types. They are suspension or drawback. Remember, we briefly mentioned drawback a little while ago, because we said that from April 2010, customs no longer allow a simplified authorization to be used for this method. Also, under the rewrite of the code, which we mentioned in the first lecture, the Commission is intending to remove drawback totally as a way of operating IPR.
Article 114, subsection 1, paragraph A, and subsection 2, paragraph A of the Code, covers suspension. This is where goods are imported without payment of customs duty and import VAT, although note that excise duty must still be paid, and provided the goods are re-exported, duty and import VAT do not become due. Article 114, subsection 1, paragraph B, and subsection 2, paragraph B, covers drawback. This is where goods are imported as normal, with customs duty, excise duty where applicable, and import VAT paid. If the goods are re-exported, the customs duty is reclaimed. This reclaim must be submitted within 6 months of the export. The time limit can be found in Article 521 of the implementing regs. The import VAT does not need to be reclaimed, as that will have been recovered by the importer in the usual way as input tax on their VAT return. There is no relief for excise duty. How do you choose whether to use suspension or drawback? Suspension offers both advantages and disadvantages. It certainly offers better cash flow, as you don't pay your duty or VAT when the goods are imported. However, if the goods are not re-exported, then as well as the duty and import VAT becoming due, customs will charge compensatory interest. Unfortunately, they do not lend money interest-free. If, therefore, you do not know the end destination of the goods at the time of import, you are better off using drawback. However, drawback cannot be used for all types of goods. It cannot be used for goods listed in Article 124 of the Code. These include goods that require an import license, goods which are subject to quantitative restrictions, or goods subject to tariff quotas. There are others listed in Article 124, but these are the main ones. You will learn more about licenses, quotas, and quantitative restrictions in later lectures. In which annex of the implementing regs would you find the economic conditions? A. Annex 72. B. Annex 67. C. Annex 69. Or D. Annex 70. Second question. There are two types of IPR. Name them. There are five types of IPR authorization. What are they called? You need to complete the missing words in the boxes on the screen. Once you have entered all of your answers, press the Enter key to see how you did. The five types of IPR are the simplified authorization, which is applied for at the time of import, the local authorization, where the economic conditions are deemed to be satisfied, the specific authorization, where the economic test needs to be satisfied, the integrated authorization that combines IPR with another customs procedure, and the community authorization if processing takes place in more than one member state.